Okay, all are excited to this interesting topic. First of all, thanks a lot for taking out your time on a Sunday evening, which could have been very well spent in somewhere in a mall. But you have taken a wise decision and come to hear some of the very wise people going to sit here on the chairs. And of course, at the end of the day, His Grace Radheshyam Prabhu is going to cover the whole topic. Before we start, I would like to introduce myself, and then I'll also like to introduce our group, which we are representing today, and then a brief introduction of some of our important team members and His Grace Radheshyam Prabhu, and then most important, the rules of the game, because I think it's important to give a method to the madness, right? So we are going to give some rules on how this debate will be conducted. And then we will conclude this whole thing with a summary from Radheshyam Prabhu. And then also he will talk about the whole debate. I mean, he is sitting there and he's going to evaluate. So let me start with my quick introduction. Hi, I'm Swapnil. I have studied from NIT Suratkal. And right now I work as a head of analytics in Varian Medical Systems in Magarpeta. I have my good wife, whom you have been very much interacting with through phones or through WhatsApp. She is Shefali, and Shefali has done her MCA from Banasthali Vidyapeeth. She is a gold medalist MCA. She used to work for 9 years in IT company, and at this moment she is doing value education and teaching Bhagavad Gita to the ladies and girls in Magarpeta city. So this was our introduction. And then I would also like you to introduce to our group, which is Leader's Voice. You might have seen on our banner Leader Voice. So Voice stands for Vedic Oasis for Inspiration, Culture and Education. This group's main aim is to rekindle wisdom and revive love in youths. Again, this is very much related to our body. Wisdom for our heads and love for our hearts. Voice has been doing this work for many years now. For last 25 years, we have had many centers all around India. Many of us got connected through those centers. We have been opening centers around universities and colleges. In those centers, what we are trying to give is we are trying to introduce to today's youth about healthy, holistic, and happy living. So, in addition to that, we are trying to help them build character and devotion for the God. Especially this Leader's Voice. Voice has many subgroups. This Leader's Voice is working for the youths like you, who are a working youth. And we are trying to help you inculcate wisdom, number one. Spirituality, and also to live a meaningful life in this all rat race. I've been with this for last 16 years, and I think most of you have also started. So this is our aim of our group. This is what we do. I would also like to introduce, some of you may already know, the host of this place. It's very important for us to thank them for opening their door for this interesting program. So I'd like to introduce Praveen and Aparna. She's not around due to some health issues. Praveen and Aparna have been running this yoga studio for the last 14 years. And they have been teaching yoga to a lot of people here in the mornings. Aparna is a graduate in psychology from Banaras Hindu University. And Praveen has just done his engineering and later has moved and done a post-graduation in yoga. Praveen, would you like to tell something about your yoga studio and then we can move forward?
Hello everyone. I would like to welcome all of you to our yoga studio. Here we offer regular yoga classes in the morning and evening. There are regular batches happening in the morning from 6 and the evening 6:30 onwards. We teach almost every aspect of yoga. We teach asanas, pranayama, meditation, and kriyas and all that. Even yoga therapies for specific ailments. Like all of you know, being working in a software companies or IT companies, a lot of people suffer through back pain and all that. So we offer therapies on that also. And weekly we have a something called as a mind and mantra class happening here. Right now it is only for the girls, somehow it is not yet planned for the boys. In that we have Bhagavad Gita classes conducted by our Shefali Mataji. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Praveen. Without taking a lot of time, I would also like to introduce today's our guest speaker, His Grace Radhesham Prabhu. His Grace Radhesham Prabhu is a graduate from IIT Mumbai. He's been the topper in his MTech classes, and currently he preaches all the corporates and youths like you. He has got an excellence award for helping youth in studying Bhagavad Gita, and also at this moment he goes into corporate companies like Persistent, Infosys, Bank of America to give spirituality classes, and also a lot of stress relieving classes related to today's world's all the common issues which we have. In addition to this, he is currently our ISKCON Pune president. For last 20 years he has been our president, and he's leading a team of 6,000 members in ISKCON. He lives in NVCC Katraj. Have you been to NVCC Katraj? It's a beautiful temple, one of the most landmark in Pune now. Around 10 lakh people visit this temple in a year. Today he is going to assess all the participants who are going to participate in this debate. And then at the end of the program, he will give us his well-rounded understanding on the topic. With this, let's start the action. I mean, we have registrations from many participants, so unfortunately, we will not be able to have everyone sit on the chair. But of course, you will get also an opportunity to put your thoughts eventually.
So, can I get names of five participants who are for marriage and five who are for living together? So this is for marriage, right?
Okay, very nice. Thank you. So, before we start, I'd like to actually let you guys know and our audience also know about the rules, and then we will start the debate. Okay? So, each speaker will be given 3 minutes for their speech, and after all 10 candidates, so now it's 8 candidates, have completed, every speaker will be given one rebuttal round, 1 minute. For a rebuttal round. Okay, so if you have heard anything from them which you want to rebut, please feel free. You will get 1 minute. Same applies to you guys. Okay, so the evaluation procedure is very simple. We will be evaluating you on 3 things. I call it CPU, like a computer CPU. So it is content, presentation, style, and understanding of the topic. Okay? Again, content, presentation, and understanding of your topic. CPU. Yes. CPU. So easy to remember. So whenever you are speaking, please keep this in mind. When I mean content, content should be substantial and relevant to the topics. We tend to sometimes get away from the topic. Try your best to keep yourself on the subject. I know there are so many problems going on in this world, but we probably want to keep focused on our topic today. Okay? Presentation style. So we would like you to keep your audience engaged because they are not speaking. They're just come to hear you. So please try to see that your presentation style is not monotonous and you're able to keep them always hearing you. Okay? And also at the end of the day, it's very important for you to understand what you're going to speak on, right? It will be important that how you put your topics or how you put your thoughts, because sometimes this is easier said than done. You sometimes end up complicating the whole thing, whole matter. So try to be as layman as possible in your citing of examples or other things, okay? So once we have completed this, Prabhuji is sitting there and he'll be evaluating you. He'll be coming and giving his understanding of the overall understanding of the topic, and also will be sharing with you the points, some of the points which you will hear during the debate. So at the end, I will also request audience to please encourage all your friends. It takes a lot of guts to come and sit and speak in front of an audience. So please appreciate them by maybe clapping and giving all your support. Thank you. So I have Praveen sitting here. He'll be at 2:45. So you got 3 minutes. At 2:45, he'll play the first ring. Okay. So that it means you have to complete your topic in 3 minutes. You have 15 more seconds to go. And at 3 minutes, he's again going to put two kartals to tell you that your time is over. Okay? Everyone excited? Prabhuji, if there are more people who want to come, either of seats. Yes. So if you feel excited and there is a last minute sale, so if you want to join us, feel free to join either of the group. We still have one place here and one place there. Okay? Okay, so I think we are good to start today's program. And once again, thank you all for coming. Okay? Sure. This four is this side. Anyone want to balance this? Okay. Okay, good. So we are about to start our program. And with your permission, Prabhu, we'll start the program. So we'll start with which one is on your first name? Ajay Yadav? Okay.
So I'm Ajay. I'm working in MDocs currently. So I'm against marriage, because we get life in so many million of years, human life, and we are wasting. Hello. Yeah, we are wasting our life in marriage and getting children and their education. Whole like for average, like we have 50 to 60 years of age, so we don't get the real picture of life. Like million of years, we are just getting the life of human and just getting the marriage and bringing the children. And we are wasting our time in the children and marriage. So, and also living in the society, I have realized that there is no love. Because if you want to reach to ultimate goal, like reaching to God or ultimate self, so you have to be in love and you have to be closer to self. So the marriage, like, if you see, for example, if you see other, you know, means there is always relationship between male and female. So male always get attracted to woman. So, and he falls in love. So according to me, so this is not the real love. Love is created from the self, not by any other human being. So love is created from the soul, like which we have, which we are, not we have. So we are the soul inside, and that happiness and love, everything is generated from the soul, not by from any other body. So that's what, I don't see any reason of wasting time in getting marriage. So instead of, you know, we should use that time in like what we, devotion or meditation, and getting closer to ourselves. Then that will, that is the ultimate goal of life. That's what I want to tell. It's, yeah. So also against marriages, there are a lot of points in, as we see in society, people get married and they fight every day, like, you know, the monotonous life. Every day, like, it's like, so human being has the mentality, like, if, like, so they will enjoy, like, for 1 or 2 years. Now they will, I have, like, heard from many married people, like, they say that life has become boring now. So it's like initial phase they are like, you know, happy, and after that it, anything, marriage or anything, if you are doing, you know, if you are living with a, yeah, if you are living with a person, you will get bored. So you have to live with yourself, closer to yourself. So if you go closer to yourself, happiness itself will come. Any other human cannot give you happiness. That's it. Thanks.
Now I am getting one from the
sugar.
In the far one, we have Nagmanesh Hari.
The marriage. The legally or formally recognized union of two people, a partner with a personal relationship. By the way, it is the Google definition. Do you think marriage make you happy? No, marriage doesn't make you happy. But yes, you make your marriage happy. Because you are the vital role in your life. You are the same person who play two roles. Means, you enjoy two life, before marriage life and after marriage life, right? Marriage, anyone who are unmarried people here? I think most of the people are unmarried. Okay? Anyone who has in relationship, relax. Yes, you know well, there is ups and downs, good times and bad times, right? Patch-ups and breakups, right? But the wedding was require you to promise that you stick, and you stick your promise, and you for best or for better, right? In so many movies, we see or in hearing stories that the true love is the ultimate end goal, right? So, and what I want. If I am for marriage, so marriage, yes, marriage teaches you more things than that being single. Marriage teaches you keeping the words. Marriage teaches you being selfless. It gives you all lifetime partnership and long lasting life. Life. There are many candidates here who are speaking on the topic or against the topic, right? They having different opinion, different ideas. But I want to give a suggestion for those who are unmarried. So please listen carefully. That never marry the one you can live with, but marry the one who cannot live without. Thank you.
Good evening to all of you. So, I am going to speak against the marriage. And by I think it, the person before me, sir, very correctly said that marriage is a legal contract. And I think this is the be all, end all of marriage. marriage does not really bring true love. So I thought how to prepare for this speech, so I went back and watched an episode of Satyamev Jayate, in which they were discussing all the vices of marriage. So a minister came up and he said there are 30,000 women right now in Punjab who are leading very bad lives. Why they are leading bad lives is they got married to men, and these men made a lot of promises to them. They promised them healthy, fulfilling lives, and they took a lot of dowry. They made them pay for the entire expenditure of marriage, and then they went away to foreign countries. They even made these women and their families pay for their visa. So this is how much people have exploited marriage. What I have come to realize is marriage is anything except true love. It is an alliance between two families. It is what you do if you want dowry, if you want money for yourself, you marry. Or if you want to show off to your friends and you want to out of the ceremony is why you get married. True love can very well be achieved without getting married, and you can have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you can be in a relationship and still have a fulfilling relationship is what I feel. So the good thing that this person said about marriage is that it's a legal contract. I think it makes it worse for a love relationship if it's a legal contract to get out of that relationship. Suppose a husband is abusive to his wife, they're not taking care of their partner, and in fact they are going ahead and exploiting their partner. So in a marriage, because there is so much stigma of breaking out of a wedlock, I've seen in my own family, people are not so happy with their marriages, but they seem to stay in that marriage because they've never seen anyone come out of a marriage situation, so they are ready to stay unhappy. Again, I wouldn't even say that if because you are stuck in this relationship will force you to work on that relationship. You can work on a relationship without having a legal contract. If your girlfriend is mad at you, it is your responsibility to ask her why she is angry and what you can do to amend the things that you have done wrong. But you can be married to your wife and you can still joke about it, you can still make fun of her and not care a hoot about what she thinks. So in our popular culture, it is very common. All the WhatsApp jokes are about men and women frustrated with their lives. So I say you can have true love in your life. You don't need to sacrifice on it. You just don't need to get into a legal contract to prove it to the world. Thank you.
Hi everyone, I'm Ronika, I'm 20 years. Just completed with my BCA from MIT. Okay, here as everyone knows, what the topic is, right? Marriage versus living relationship, right? Whatever I have noticed till now around or heard on media or read on newspaper, and what I've experienced with my family, I believe and have made more believe stronger that it's much better, it's much far better than being in a relationship. Look, before I start, I would just start with an example. Okay, do you people watch movies? Everyone? Yes? Yeah? This was my movie, right? Pyar Ka Panch or something? Panch. Wow, good. Okay, that you must have seen. That three guys are saying they live in a relationship, right? What at the end happens? They end up being, even if after staying for 1 year or more than that. In short, I would say, like for me, living in a relationship is like walk in and walk out. Okay, people say we are serious being in a relationship. Then I would love to ask them, then why can't you go do a marriage? What's the problem with being in marriage, right? Marriage is about being three things: commitment, responsibilities, and promises. And I'm going to add one more. Oh, sorry. Commitment, responsibilities, promises, and forgiveness for small mistakes, right? people do make mistakes. So, and there's the one more switch we have listened, like, wine tastes much more better when it gets older. Same goes with marriage. Marriage is about a very beautiful thing, which is about rituals, which do carries a very important meanings. Important meaning. And I end up this debate by saying, marriage is about commitment, once again repeating it, commitment, responsibilities, promises. And in living relationship, people are not ready to take responsibility of each other. They are ready to take their responsibility, not of each other. So what's the use? So I believe that marriage is much better than is much better and going to be best, which is time of ritual, which bring me carrying forward, forward and forward. Thank you. Have a great day.
So my previous speaker correctly pointed out, like, marriage is a legal contract. So I will take this point a little forward. Like, when the human race evolved, it's clear, like, we didn't have marriage concept. The marriage concept evolved over the time, when actually the human race evolved and there were needs and it was needed to have a kind of a social life. So to get to know different kind of cultures, there was an invention called marriage. So from where I suppose this concept actually came from. So there have been people who have been in relationship in our ancestor also. So that's something, it's not a foreign concept to us. Secondly, regarding marriage, it's again a kind of ill concept nowadays. Nowadays there are a lot of ill involved with it. Like, there are dowries, then there is inter-caste marriage, then there are inter-religion marriage. We have seen people getting killed by their families just because they married to a girl of different religion or a boy of different religion. Then maybe, like, there are domestic abuses involved in which the partner is suffering, but he is not able to leave the marriage or relationship just because there are social responsibilities and like that. There are chances in which the people are not actually living together. They are just in under one roof, but emotionally they are not together. But still they have to live just because they are somehow bound in this concept called marriage. Do you feel why our ancestor tried to give a marriage a spiritual concept? Like, in Hinduism, they promise to live for seven births. Similarly, for other religion, they also have such kind of concept. But it's not always about commitment. Like, if you are having a true love with someone, you just don't need a marriage. Like, suppose we say for the God, you don't always need him in front of you. You don't always need his idol to worship. Similarly, to make a true love, you don't need a marriage. If you can worship God without idol, you can also make a true love without marriage. So this is something that I really feel, and there are a lot of evil involved with the marriage nowadays, particularly with the Indian context. So we really need to evolve, and in the time we are not able to evolve, we must work out to be more acceptable towards living relationships. That will be case when we will be more of a case, like, able to get rid of this whole concept called what are the abuses involved with the marriage. So thank you.
I'll start. So, you know, now that you've heard that marriage is just a legal contract, so just tell me, signing on a piece of paper is going to get you married? No, just signing on that piece of paper is going to tell you that your life is going to be, you know, full of jhakas, or it is going to be very bad. No guarantee. You just leave that paper, marriage is over. So the question is not about getting married. Are you going to work to make your marriage work? That is the real question. So, you know, what is marriage? Marriage is not two people getting together, inviting lot of people to eat, getting nice gifts, and then done. Marriage is done. No. Marriage is much more than that. You know, when we're happy, we go and share our news with our friends. You know, if we're wrong, something like mistakes, if we're bad, we go and share that news with our best friends. So when you have your best friend, your friend, friend, you're a person who will be with her constantly in all ups and downs. That is marriage. And how many of you know sometimes we get angry with our parents or our friends mostly? I get pissed at them. So, do we say, okay, now I'll find a new friend with no qualities? No. What do? We accept our parents with their mistakes. Now, sometimes they tell us things we don't like, but we accept. We have to accept. Marriage is acceptance. Then you accept the parents' fault. The parents are not going to accept your fault. He's not going to tell you, see, when we live together, I know it is not just losing time. Okay, now we are breaking up. No commitment. So, see, in marriage, getting married won't give you commitment. You have to work hard towards that marriage. See, when we are born, there are stages of life. We were kids. We enjoyed, we became teenagers, you know, we flirted, those who wanted to flirt, you know, friends and everything. Life was going good. But, you know, at one age, when you start getting old, you need someone by, you know, by your side to share your ups and downs, to tell all your memories. You know, the person, you know, the people who think about you also sometimes. See, I can do what I want. That makes me a bachelor. But you know, I have someone who will do something for me without me asking for it. Does that not make us, you know, feel much, much better?
So, you know, just give me a second.
Yeah, just that's it. So, bachelor, single life, even in relationship is always about I. It's like I make my decisions, you don't get to tell me what to do, I will just listen to your opinions. Marriage is like, okay, I am half, you are half. I'm going to take your opinion, I'm going to think over it. And if I don't like it, I will let you know. It is not your decision, it is always us. And you know, us, we can conquer the world, right? And I cannot do that. So, that's it. Thank you.
One more from both sides, because we have two here, one here, and then you keep noting your points. Please keep noting your points. You'll get 1 minute to do rebuttal. Each one of you will get 1 minute. If you want to use it, please. Otherwise, it's an optional rebuttal. Okay.
Hey guys. So, I'm talking about the concept of marriage right now, when it was derived. Nobody knows that from which era we are marrying, we are wedding other gender. So, the basic concept is when marriage derived and why. Marriage is the concept which has been derived at the time when there was no equality between man and woman. Woman was the person who has been oppressed by the man, because at that time physical strength was above and dominative than a mental acumen. At that time, women have their several problems like menstrual problems, pregnancy. They have no contraceptives. That's why they have to bore child for 9 months if they want to wish it or not. So at that time, they spend their time in pregnancy. Having physical weakness, which was prime thing at that time to do, because at that time physical domestic any work like agriculture or any other work requires a physical strength. So at that time, man used to dominate, and after that marriage, that concept has been formalized into a law. Before that, there was no law. If you will talk about Hindu law, that came into place after 1940s. Before that, a man can marry n numbers of women. A Hindu religion doesn't means opposed to marry more than 5 women. They can marry n number of women. But now, as per the Hindu law, we can marry just once time. So, what? Who are supporting? Who are saying that the marriages as per the religion are wrong? Because Hindu law is saying to marry just a woman, and Hindu religion is saying to marry n numbers of people. Similarly, in different, I'm not talking about the countries where marriages is being formed on the basis of religion, like Saudi Arabia, because they don't give a equality to man and woman. So at the time of 1700 and 1800s, the Industrial Revolution happened, and the equality came because mental acumen came to the much more power and dominated toward the physical strength. At that time, women led the show because they were at the power of more than the man's abilities. At that time, the question raises, and at that time, the law has been formed and has been changed on the basis of the things like that. Marriage should have should revoke the man's supremacy and should give certain rights to the women. So at that time, it's fine. Till the 1980s, 1800 and 1900, it was fine that the biasness towards man was happened, because at that time man was dominating and was not giving, there was not equality at that time. But as being now, if you see that mostly the metro cities and the people who are educated, equality in aspects of quality in aspects of marriage is beyond par, and we should not believe in this contractual thing, because now the gender equality has been implemented.
Good evening, one and all. I'm very happy to part of this debate. Is marriage is important? Yeah, marriage is not important. It is necessary to lead a happy life. My thought is, husband and wife relationship is the purest relationship in the entire universe. Why I'm saying this as a youngster, as a girl, I have understand so many things from my parents. I have seen a selfless service from my mother. She just enjoyed to see what us like. She knows what my brothers like. She knows what my father, what I know, what I like. So she just happy with what to satisfy everyone. So I want to be in future like her, to service to my family as selfless. The main cause root of marriage is unconditional love, and the main cause root of living together relationship is lust. Simply, marriage is a combination of trust plus love. Cohabitation is a combination of lust plus selfishness. So, I have seen there are two advantages in marriage life. As an youngster, I felt if your parents is in a good relationship, you can learn how you going to be with your partner. If they are not in good relationship, you can learn how you can't be live with your partner. So, what are all you have learned from universities and what are all you have learned from colleges, that is not important. What are all you have learned from your family is very important. It's going to lead your life till death. So, yeah. I just want to ask one question to this. You said there is no true love nowadays. Can't you get you from your mother or sister?
We are not married with our
mother. No, not like that.
There is no contract.
You're going to be a family, no?
Yeah. There is family. How can you get
family? No, I guess we'll get the rebuttal time for everyone. So you can put your thoughts. And yeah. So that's why I'm correcting. No problem. So you can think about, you can give your thoughts, and then you will get a chance to rebut them on whatever points there is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Time is over.
Okay. So, Prabhuji, we have one, I think, by hearing different views, we have someone who wants to join this against marriage. And so we will have five people on both ends. And you're done?
Sorry?
You're good? Huh? You're done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Your time? Her time is?
Now it is over.
Okay. You want to speak something which you want to complete your thoughts?
No.
Okay. Thank you. And you will again get to rebut them for sure. So please, both the groups, please be prepared to give back to your opponents. Okay? So,
name?
Your name?
Atman. That's A-A-D-M-A-N.
Atman. So Atman, since this is against, so you can go ahead and then Jayashree will check.
गुरुजी जी आपके प्यार का कितना लगेगा, आपके प्यार का कितना लगेगा, और मैडम आपके प्यार का कितना लगेगा? वेरी सिंपल, कभी मम्मी से कुछ साइन करवाया कि मम्मी मेरी पूरी लाइफ आप मेरी मम्मी रहना, मुझे झगड़ा हुआ तो आप कहीं चले मत जाना. इट्स एज सिंपल एज दैट. आर फीलिंग्स, व्हाट वी थिंक, आर थॉट्स आर व्हाट इज क्रिएटेड एवरीथिंग दैट यू सी अराउंड यू, द होल यूनिवर्स. आई बिलीव ऑन अ पर्सनल लेवल दैट द माइंड पजेसेस द पावर ऑफ समथिंग बियॉन्ड व्हाट वी कैन इमेजिन, एंड बाय गिविंग अ टैग मैरिज, by having a say contractual, say legal binding, say whatever you want, something as pure as love, something as pure as your own human emotion, why do you need a third party to recognize it? Why can't 2 people, 3 people, 10 people recognize it themselves? It's not about how you live together and how you create a whole universe and how you are committed to each other and how confidently you can say that we take responsibility for each other. When animals in the jungle have babies, or when animals in the jungle have babies together, they don't have a contractual relationship. They both take care of the baby together. So the problem is we created something so material all around us that we started to divert from the basic point of why people want to live together, why people want the comfort. That is just pure love. And by starting to get together, by starting to sign contracts, by starting to tell the society that we are a married couple, we started diverting from where the base, where the source is, which was again just true love. When say a lion and a lioness have a cub, they don't have a legal binding on themselves. They both take equal responsibility for maintaining the cub. And this is just not the child. I'm talking about even each other. When the lioness sees the lion being attacked by another animal, the lioness will step in. And they have taken responsibility for each other without a contract. So why did we create something so material that we needed something to bind us to be honest with ourselves? It's our fault, and I think it's not too late to rectify it. So if we just understand why we need to be or why we do something, I think that will be enough to keep responsibility, faith, confidence, every point that you said. It doesn't need marriage for that. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. So, when we talk about marriage or live-in relationship, both are about love. I agree. But why is marriage more different than live-in relationship? Live-in relationship is open. You have the freedom. And in marriage, you are bound by a contract. That is less open. But this contract also provides you legal security. And for any kind of relationship, to get into anything, you need some sort of security. That is one of the basic needs of a human, basic needs of any person. This security that we look for is in terms of any thing that we take like abuse. The law is there to protect us. The law will help us when we face any issues. Suppose in a marriage, someone wants to cheat. They have to think twice because they have to face legal consequences. It would be having an affair with someone and it would be a criminal offense. Whereas in a live-in relationship, you are at your own will. How does that make us different from any other animals, being such an intelligent species? Coming to species, any species to continue their existence, we create children. And in this, when we talk about children, to bring them up as humans and not animals,
they require the guidance of a mother and a father. And in a live-in relationship, when there is no such commitment from the parents, there is hardly any guidance that they get. Suppose one moves out and someone else comes in. The child requires a parent, a continuous support. Just like we look for a partner to share our lives with, a companion, the children also look for some sort of support from the parents. And that is why we need both the parents in a proper commitment before to have a child. And children are important because they are our next generation. If we want to exist, we need to create the next generation. That I would like to conclude with this.
Let's one more time give them a round of applause. Fantastic ideas by each one of them, very confident speaking. Thank you everyone for coming up. Before we go to rebuttal round, I would like actually want to open the house. If there is anyone who wants to share their thoughts for a minute, not more than that, is feel free to do that. For marriage or against marriage. So from the audience, anyone wants to speak up, please feel free to. You have 1 minute you can talk about. Anyone? Okay, so that brings us to almost the end of our first debate round, and now we'll go to the second round where we'll be doing a rebuttal. Rebuttal round is an optional round. You may want to skip it, no problem, but if you want to rebut someone's point, feel free to. So you'll get 1 minute. The first bell will ring at 30 seconds so that you know that you have half time left. So you have to deliver all your thoughts of whatever you heard from your opponents in 1 minute. Okay? Okay. I think it's better you keep it at your points.
Okay.
Because questions, you can always do it after the program. And of course, we also have to hear. Okay. Yeah, that's a very, thank you Prabhu. So what Prabhuji said, that you can, before you end, you can actually give a rebuttal question to the person on the opponent's side. Okay? And they can choose to answer it or not answer it. Okay? So again, we'll start with against side. Ajay, you started, so we'll start with you. And then we'll go alternate. Okay? Thank you.
So yeah, so I heard all the for marriages people, like summary what I get, like what they want is like they want to share their, they want a friend. I think lifetime friend they want. So many of the people like mentioned that we were ups and downs, I want to share with somebody. Yeah, you want to get, so what, like for marriages, whatever you want to do. You want a friend. Why do you want to share your thoughts? Why you don't have the control on your life? See, why you want somebody like? Yeah, because we are humans. We should be strong, you know, to have the control of our own life. You want love. Why do you want to marry? You want to marry for love? Yes, love we don't get from. You know, women. That is the real. No. Love we get. So whenever like you have thoughts, lot of thoughts, and you go for, you know, you go and sit in the garden, and you feel peaceful and you feel happy. So where is that other person? So this comes from your inside, not from anybody else. I'm saying this is the real fact. So nobody else can give you. So whatever in marriages you are achieving, that is the weakness of you as a human. You have to be very strong. And so why do you want security from somebody else? See, we are destroying our life. Why? See, we are getting this life in millions of. See, if you read that Prabhupada or Krishna consciousness. Thousands of millions of life we are wasting in marriage and children. Yeah. So we. Yeah. Okay. So that my thing is that whatever you want to achieve in marriage, you will achieve by your own. You know, you have that power, mind and self. You have that power. You can achieve.
Okay. Someone said after marriage, women wasting time in pregnancy, right? Are they having pain, etc.? Like, hello. Women are wasting time in pregnancy or they having pain, right? Yeah. Yes, but you also born, so it's not a wasting of time. Right? Okay, wait. And every girls want to become mother, right? Mothers know well because they having child. So it's not a wasting time, and they not having any pain. Their feelings are different. It's mother's feelings. So mothers knows well. So it's not a waste of time. That's okay.
Main point that I would like to contradict is ki there is no commitment in a love relationship which is not a marriage. Because I'll say the only commitment that there is in marriage mostly is the commitment of fear. Which is, if I leave this marriage, there will be stigma against me. People will not want to. Which is why when I said there are women in Punjab who are in pain and sorrow, they are in a marriage, failed marriage, they are still not getting out of it because they cannot even fathom not being married. Firstly. Secondly, like my friend very rightly said, you have friends too, you don't need to get into social contracts. Why is your sexual relationship the only relationship where you think you need a contract? Everywhere else, we don't have contracts. Secondly, you can, there is nothing selfish about a live-in relationship. It's not about being I. If you've ever had a boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, you'll have to take care of them. You'll have to know their needs and meet them. Secondly, I would say it is not easy. Ki jaise aapne bola ki agar acha nahi jam nahi raha to chhod do. Lekin ek live-in relationship mein, if you have invested time with a partner, even if they are not married, if you have to start your relationship from scratch, that is a huge disincentive to take your partner seriously, even if she is not your wife. Still, you'll take her seriously because you have invested that 1 year or 2 year into a relationship. You don't want to start afresh with a new person. So there is no selfishness. People are selfish inherently. There is no such thing that married people are selfless and the rest of us are very selfish. This is it.
Okay, first of all, I first like to answer some few questions, especially. There's one person, right? You, right? I'm sorry, the second one. Yeah, you have said in Punjab, those women are getting some problems and issues. Do you know exactly what happened with them?
I know.
From where? Okay, you just have watched a small video and has said that. You said so.
Passport officer of that area came and reported.
Okay, hold on, please. There's only 1 minute. He will be like, go. Let me finish my.
Facts, if you're saying I'm just talking daily, I'm not talking daily. I have.
Okay. So let me tell you the whole story in short. They were not, the problem wasn't with the marriage. Problem was with the people. With those two people, both family, they were not ready. The thing is, they like, not as if family was ready, couples were not ready. They could have fight for them. They didn't. It's their problem. That's a personal problem. It's not because of marriage. Because of the family pressure. Okay, live-in relationship. Okay, tell me this. Live-in relationship. Who have been in a relationship? Anyone? Are you having a successful relationship right now? No? Why? That's the thing. That's a cause, guys. That's a cause. Like in every relationship or in this marriage, there is some problem. You have to fight for it. Or step back and accept it. This is not just about living relationships. Second point is when someone, you right?
Sorry. The question is cup. There was a point. There's a point there's a cup. Like tigers, like together they help each other and they help it out for the cup, right? Let me tell you one thing. The cup, the thing is the male in tiger. For example, tiger, okay? That's a lion, okay? Lion or right, sorry. Male is ready to kill his cub. Mother, protect that cub. If you want, you can Google it. Okay, that's the thing. Due to that, they don't know how to sign anything. They don't have a... There's a difference between being an animal or being a human. Okay? Some points. Let me speak. Please.
I'll leave it to the judge if he allows me.
Please. There are many questions.
I have 30 seconds
more. Please. Oh, come on. I have to answer his question. He pointed me out so badly. See, this is what you people do with me. You're taking my time, see? Okay. You said mine.
Okay. So you have lost 30 seconds or whatever time. Now you get 30 more seconds to just complete. Please don't get into discussions with others. Just cover your topics.
The thing is, marriage is not about being like a... having mind or something. Like we should be using our mind or we are like depending on each other. I have said or whatever the people we have believed, who are for a marriage, believes that we should share. Okay, one person is like keeping the talks or thought inside a person, inside the soul. Like, I won't be sharing. Maybe that pressure. For example, volcano. So one day it can come out, right? This is what happens with a human. If you keep it inside, you have to speak up, you have to share it. You're in the wrong place. And we're not here for marriage is about illegal or legal. Let me speak, Baba. Let me speak. I'm speaking. Marriage is not about like, we are not here for a topic illegal or legal. We are here for marriage or living relationship. People are going from the topic like illegal or legal. No, we are not here for that, right? And second, let me finish it off. In marriage, we can stay without being get pregnant. That's a compulsory, you have to be pregnant. Thank you.
Again, we have put a method to the madness. I know when two human beings with an intellect start to discuss, they can go anywhere. So that's why there is a rules and there is a method to the madness. Thank you.
So I will start with the commitment. Like one argument we gave, like the marriage enforces the commitment. So at the same time with living also you can have commitment. If I have the true love and I'm ready to commit the person that I will stay with her lifetime. So that's one part. The second part was regarding the security. The argument was the marriage like proposes the security of a person. Verbal commitment. Yeah. So the second argument was security. So that said, like you have the laws in marriages that provides you a security. So if you see more living relationships, so we will obviously see more laws coming in force to protect the living relationships from person getting abused. So that's also one part. Then second, we cannot deny the lot of atrocities that are being done on a partner by marriage. So again, like when you say living a part of lust or selfishness, that's not true, because with marriage also you are actually expecting something from your partner. You are not doing it selflessly. So no relationship is selfless apart from our biological relationship that we have with our parents. So marriage is also a part of selfish relationship.
Hello. Okay. I have no discussions, just advice on what I feel, counterpoints that is. So let's start with our friend over here who taught us about controlling our thoughts and being strong. And I'm going to quote, male get attracted to females. So you know the problem is not male getting attracted to the female, you're going on the right track. The problem is when you get start attracted to more than one. So I'm going to advise you to be strong. No, I don't. I want no discussions. I'm going to advise you to be strong. Control your thoughts, as you know His Holiness Prabhupada, like you only said. So you start reading Bhagavad Gita, and then we will talk about this. Okay, wait. And moving on to my friend who does not speak vaguely at all. You should stop watching Satyamev Jayate for some time and start seeing Southern India. You know, they show criminal cases which are really true, you know. People are staying together, taking money, running away, killing, you know. You should see that. That is what. I have no problem. Punjab, okay, that was very horrible. Okay, now next. And you know, you said about something about equality. See, we women, just because we are working at your house, we give birth to your kids. We are not weak just because you go outside to eat money. We are very strong. We do this because you cannot do that. And plus, we are ready to work also. So I think we are very superior. Okay. Okay, and you know, when we started this discussion, only some people were there. Prabhuji said the difference between humans and animals. And this, my friend over here, compared us to animals by saying that lions, they are not in a lion pride. There are only 2 males and 8 females, and they are allowed to have whatever they want to do. So living relationships give you that right. You can do how many other partners you want. And this legal contract is just not about signing. I'm telling you, you don't want the contract, just take a divorce next day. It is all fine. So, you know, there is a big difference between animals and us, and I will tell you that afterwards, what Gurudev said to us, okay? So, thank you.
Hi, so both of you didn't understand me well. I was talking about how marriage originated and what's the problem at that time. I was talking about that time when lady used to have 10 children, and it was not up to their right. Men used to force them. Right now, right, you're right, you're superior than us. So there is no need of, if there is an equality, there is no need of a law. What about Article 498 in a Indian constitution? It says that woman is a property of a man. Nobody can do a case against woman if she is doing an adultery. What about that? You're superior, right? So change that law. If you can't change that law, then don't talk about the culture. Marriage is fine. The culture, the religion marriage is nothing to do with a legal tender. It's something like a verbal commitment. And that is fine. We all are ready for that thing. But if you're thinking, and I'm talking about, marriage thing is a lot big thing. We can't compare it with a single situation. Pyar ka panchnama or Satyamev Jayate. This thing is not going to define what we have to do and not. How marriage has been originated, why it has been originated, how the things which has been woman has suffered from, because of which the law had came, which was biased towards men. And now when equality has came to the place, that law needs to be changed, or that marriage thing has to be moved. That nothing. Sridhan Act, Article 498A, there was one more law that has been enacted right now, that a woman who is a wife, has a right to say no to husband to give money to their parents. Till now that law was there. And now Mumbai High Court has enacted that law right now. And that not yet been done in Supreme Court. So it's just an amendment in law. Thanks.
I'm having a question that everyone are going to not getting married, right? No, I'm asking, you are getting married or not?
It depends
on the... No, not depends.
I'm not going to marry if I will get that type of a...
Okay, if you have a situation that... If you have a situation... Wait. If you have a situation that you're going to be a living together relationship, your parents accept that?
No.
Will your parents accept that?
In 60 years they will not. In 100 years they will not. But after that, society will change. You have to think.
So you're ready to hurt your parents, right?
You will have to think in a global manner, in a long term manner.
So this is a selfishness. This is selfishness. Yes.
No change, no amendments happen in 60 years or in 100 years. it takes time. When first woman started talking about change in constitution, it should be marriage should be in a legal constitution. After 100 years, that came into play. So it takes time.
You ready to hurt your parents, right?
This
is a small thing.
Yeah, this is a small thing.
Yeah. If your parents think like that, you all will not be here. If your parents think like that, to be alone, you...
Okay, let's quickly wrap this up because I know this is getting hot, which is good because you are sharing your thoughts. Please go ahead.
So I'll start with firstly talking about the comparison with animals. They live a much more natural life than us right now. We started off with them, we evolved, and look what we've constructed. Everything that we get stressed about, get exactly what you were talking about. We need to share our stresses. We need to share. Why has that come? Was there stress when there was no money? There must be stress, but there wasn't the pressure that you got. Your whole speech, just go through it and tell me if there was no marriage in there, what would have changed if you didn't have self-control? It's very easy. We all talk about having marriage, having kids. Somebody spoke about how evolved we are. Then why the hell do we need a contract and animals don't? Why can they be? Okay, if two lions and eight lionesses is what you said. You are obstructing your natural instinct. You are obstructing what naturally comes. Every time you bend down for 15 minutes, does your back hurt? Because you're obstructing something that's natural. By marriage, you're binding yourself from doing what naturally comes. So why do that? That's all I have to say. Thank you.
So I just like to say one point that in comparison to animals, like you say we are advanced and everything. I just want to say that animals have an average lifespan of around 20 years. If I had the freedom of living for 20 years, I would live any way I want. But unfortunately, we have an average lifespan of around 70 to 80 years in which we need a structurized form to survive, to exist in this. And for this, we form societies. And to survive for 70 years, like you rightly said, we need a method to the madness, to anything. We need to keep it regulated. And that is why we have this marriage. It is not just a contract, but it is a method to the madness, to help us exist.
You. Yes, please. I was going to actually open the house once more. This is your last chance to put your thoughts. Again, 1 minute limit for you also. Who wants to put their thoughts? Please go ahead. And anyone else wants, just raise your hand and I'll bring the mic. Maybe once Prabhuji is done, you can ask your questions.
Good evening, sir. Actually, I will not go into the debate. Should be the marriage or the relationship. But everyone have their own opinion. Not our five fingers are equal, and we know it. So, in fact, of someone like the marriage, someone don't. Someone like just casual relationships. But the more important thing is the two people. Whether they marry or whether they being in a relationship, I think the frequency of their thoughts and should match. By discussing on it is a relationship or it is a marriage, it is just for that we can just say that a farmer don't plug the seeds to its himself. So there is governance so that PDA system is safe. They distribute equally to all. So this is dharma chakra, it's governance. So for that, for controlling all these things, I think we do the marriage things. But the most important thing is the frequency of the two people should match, and they should decide mutually that we should get married or we should be in relationship or live in relationship or to call. And the third thing is in the debate, I don't like to for further, who, if anyone of you going to be in the debates further, so please don't have religions and the constitution, at least a wrong one. So I will request that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, so with this, we'll request His Grace Radhesham Prabhu to come over here and conclude this debate. I hope you all enjoyed hearing all the people, and I really like the energy. I know this is the age when you express both with words and with your body language. So thank you so much for all your active and passionate participation, and we'll request His Grace Radhesham Prabhu to conclude this session. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. First, I will comment about each of the presentations for a few minutes. What I liked in your presentation, because you all have prepared so well and come and present, it was such an enlivening session, thrilling for all of us. You kept us all at the edge of our seats. So, first we had Nagmanesh Kale. He was a very smart beginner, very confident, and he asked a very challenging and brilliant question to the audience about how that in living relationships there are ups and downs, and also he made a concluding very good point, and a very persuasive speaker. Then we had Ronika madam. She talked about how living in a relationship is walk in, walk out, and she made several points about how in marriage there is commitment, responsibility, forgiveness, promises. So she gave a very beautiful list, and again the rebuttal session she was bringing many good points also, and I find many of the speakers here very enlivening and very smart and very bold. Then we had Janavi Kirag madam. Yeah, she had several points to the content. She had humor and she asked many challenging questions about you're talking about having the best friend in life. Why can't your wife be the best friend? She asked a question like that. Another very interesting point she made was that in our familial relationships, we have ups and downs and we forgive and we are patient and everything. Why won't a husband and wife follow the same thing? So, very several points were very good in her presentation. Very mature presentation. Then we had Niveta Ravi, madam. She has seems that she has a very good parentage, and parent, she has received a lot of affection from the parents, and she emphasized on the unconditional love as opposed to the lust. Lust is selfish and love is selfless. So that was a very good point. She began with a very cool speech. And then we had Rajashree madam. She made many meaningful points. She was telling about how what are the advantages of marriage. Some serious points she brought about, that maybe the sacred traditional marriage, we may talk about love and selflessness and other things, but she also brought into consideration in the modern day situation how it provides legal security, and you know, how the children require mother and father. 5-6 very good points she made. And in the rebuttal point, she made one very meaningful point about how animals live very short lives. just 20 years and human being lives like 80 years, so we should think of some contract rather than just go for living relationship. So that was a very striking debatable point. So in the opposing team, we began with Shubham Deshmukh. Sorry. Ajay Yadav appears to be somebody who has returned from Himalayas. Huh? Isn't it? He seems to be having some halo around the head. So, of course, Ajay Yadav has the right to have his head in the clouds, but we should have our leg in the ground also. So, maybe monks may appreciate Ajay Yadav's speech. But anybody who wants to have a family, we have to also talk something practical about living. Actually, he joined that side thinking that marriage is bad. So, he joined that side, I believe. Correct, no? Above marriage. Yeah. Isn't it? So, and Ankit Goyal. Yeah, Ankit Goyal, very smart presentation, very confident. Ankit's flow was very good, very meaningful, several statements he made. And he talked about how man makes man makes promises, but then they take dowry and the expense for marriage and going, how exploitation in married life. Actually, this is one thing that has made modern man fear marriage. I mean, modern women and men both get into married relationships. Nowadays, marriage is sometimes considered like a nightmare. Huh? Because of, so he was telling about what are all the different exploitations. So, such a kind of fear for multiple problems that arise from marriage actually implies a living relationship. So, he justified to his topic. And another interesting point he made about stigma for divorce, because once you are traditionally connected, you feel difficulty coming out, you are not happy inside, you can't come out outside, it's like you are between devil and deep sea. So that was very nice, very thoughtful points. And rebuttal also, in rebuttal point he made one very good point, that if you have invested in a girl, you will take her very seriously. Nobody would want to just hop and jump if he is a sincere person, because even it takes time to build a relationship. That was the point he was making. It was good. Then we had after Ankit Goyal, we have, is it Atman? No, yourself. Yeah. Ankit, I made your point correctly. What was it? Yeah. Shubham, no, yeah. Shubham is, here. Shubham Deshmukh. Shubham Deshmukh, beautiful talk it was. So, he also gave a long list of problems in line with what all happens in marriage. Some new things also he brought out. Like people may live under one roof but not emotionally together. So, such kinds of very fine points he made. So, some of them, amongst these five of them, I saw that they made one point that true love doesn't need marriage. You don't need idol to worship God. You can see God everywhere. That kind of point he made. Which means actually, the point is marriage is like a ritual or like a contract, which is not needed for a boy and girl who genuinely love each other. That was the point he was making. So, even in living in, we can have verbal commitment. So, those kind of points he made. So, one very striking point he made, he said that in marriage, that is also not selfless, he said. Only in blood relationships we are selfless, he said. Which means he made a difference between blood brother, blood sister, blood mother, blood father. And when you marry somebody, you may not treat them so warmly as you would treat. So these are very thoughtful points in Shubham's presentation. And Abhishek Pandey, yes, Abhishek Pandey actually appeared to me like IAS student. Mm-hmm. You're studying for IAS? No. I thought you are on your way to IAS. So he is very learned in constitution and year-wise. And so he was telling about how in the ancient times there was no equality between the two, because men dominated and the women were subordinate. Sometimes one man married many women in those times. But now the time has come, women have become evolved now. You know, they are equal to men and they are on an equal footing. So that being the case, like in DC, in metro cities and everything, so then there is no need of marriage, because women don't physically depend on man. Of course, women depend on machines now. They do most of their things. Yeah, constitution marriage also, yeah. So he made many good points about the main underlying theme that he was saying was, as the times have changed, men and women are equal, and similarly the marriage system can also be avoided and they can live in together. Correct me, that was the point. Yeah, since they are equal. Ah, correct. Yeah. So after that, towards the end, we had Atman. Atman was really bold, and very bold and clear. And his concept was clear. So his point was, animals come together, they have babies together, and there is no contract. Why should human beings have contract? Human is also a social animal. Why does it need contract? So another point he was making was, with something as pure as love, why should you tie it up with contract and signatures and things like that? That was his point. So that was actually his main point, Atman's point. There is no need of legal binding in such a relationship, genuine relationship. So I appreciate all of your presentation. I am going to give a short talk, at the end of which I will announce the winners. But in one sense, I had a very tough time finalizing. We actually are supposed to finalize two on either side. And because of all of them, one of you gave a very good presentation and very thoughtful presentation. Now I wanted to say something from a Vedic point of view. There are certain universal laws, and I will speak from that point of view, from universal law point of view. For example, you throw a stone up, somebody says, I don't believe the stone will come back. But you throw a stone and it will come and hit the head, and then you will believe. Yes, stone does come down, and it hits the head. Similarly, there are laws, whether you are Indian, whether you are an American, whether you are Australian, whoever you be, there are laws in this world. For example, how many of you here would not like to be cheated by somebody? Yeah. How many of you here would not like to be insulted? So these are universal laws. Like, none of us like to be insulted. None of us like to be cheated. And how many of you would keep distance from someone whom you know exploits you? He has exploited once, twice, thrice, you have experience. Correct? Now we would keep a distance. And on the other hand, if somebody is in a helping mood, is helping, helpful, courteous, kind, cooperative, naturally you will want to connect with them. So this human nature is universal. You ask an American, you ask an Australian, you ask a Canadian, you ask a European, you ask an Indian. And these are all universal laws. So what I am going to talk today is something that aligns with universal laws. So what does the universal law talk about? Man and woman coming together and all these things. You see, there is a very clear difference between animals and human. I was making in the beginning. For example, all of you sitting here, you're all wearing dress, but animals don't wear. Is it not true? That's one difference. We all can see with our eyes. In the road, sometimes you find a dog, a he-dog, chasing after a she-dog. And the she-dog is screaming. But the police doesn't catch the he-dog. Correct, no? On the other hand, imagine a boy catches the hand of a girl and the girl screams. And the police will catch the hand of the boy. And they will put him behind the bars. While they don't do the same with the animal. Do you agree? Am I right, or am I not aware of the law of the country? What do you say? You all agree? That means, leave alone God and religion aside, even from a practical point of view, if you see, there is a difference between man and animal. Like, you go to somebody's house See, there is a vati with gulab jamun. Gulab jamun is floating in yellow golden liquid. And you feel like eating immediately, your saliva is secreting in your mouth. But then the owner of the house who is sitting on the other side in another sofa, they are going on talking to you. And you are also talking and you are wondering, why don't they tell me to eat it? But then they go on talking for some time. And then they tell you, oh, I have been talking for a long time, why don't you take it? Then immediately you take it and you start eating. Correct, no? So the culture or the civilization stops you from pouncing on the food. But animals, you will see, like bull goes to a hathgadi, like a cauliflower hand cart. The bull puts the mouth and eats it. And the fellow beats the bull, isn't it? Does the bull take permission? Sir, may I take one? No? Does it ask? It doesn't ask. It doesn't have any culture. Not only that, he got beaten also. Imagine you go to somebody's house and you ate something, they bet you. Will you go to their house again? But the bull comes again next day. Again it puts the mouth. Therefore, we can't compare animals to humans. I don't know how many of you are aware. The pigs, for example, they eat stool. And when they live in a ditch, they don't care who is mother, who is sister, who is daughter. They have sex with anybody. Animals don't have any culture. But in India, we treat mother respectfully. We also treat sister respectfully. In fact, even sister is called Amma. Amma means like a mother. We respect sister also. No? Except one's own wife, one is supposed to treat every other woman as a mother. Chanakya says this. Chanakya says there are three things that makes the human being civilized. Matravat paradareshu paradravyeshu loshtravat atmavat sarvabhuteshu yah pashyati sa panditaha. He says, who is a learned person? Three things he says. Is the mic coming? Working? Yeah. He's saying three things. First thing he says, Matravat para dareshu. Another man's wife should be seen as a mother. He says. Of course, you have another type of relation with your own wife. But with mother, another woman, you always should treat her as a mother. For example, in India, if a woman is married, she puts a kumkum here. That is like a kind of indication that I am already married. Even if a woman looks extraordinarily beautiful, if a man sees that she is wearing a kumkum, immediately he will refrain from thinking anything bad about her. When he sees her, he knows this is another man's wife. I should treat her as a mother. So that is the standard. And this kind of culture and civilization allows every man to live with his wife peacefully. Correct, no? Like once you are married, you put a kumkum on your wife's head, then another man will not try to indulge with her or involve with her. So every family is a small unit where they can have affection for each other and mother, father. Family means husband, wife, children, and the husband's mother and father. This is like one unit. They can live within the family and nobody will interfere with the family unnecessarily. Nowadays they show in TV some serials where a man is already married to a woman and another woman comes in between. And she is calling the man. Come here. And the man is looking on different sides. One side to wife and one side with another woman. And these kind of things are coming up. Why? Because slowly, due to the erosion of culture, the respect for woman is reducing. Sometimes it appears to us that in the Vedic times women were exploited or downplayed or subdued. But if you see actually, in our temple we have procession. The Vedic procession. The first team of people who go are the women. 12 unmarried young girls, they carry the kalash on their head. They walk ahead. Behind them, like we all go, we chant the Vedic mantras, we chant. And behind you will find, when the king's procession goes, the horses, the elephants, and then the king comes in a chariot. So the women were given that degree of respect. They were actually, the unmarried girls were given that type of respect to walk. Similarly, in Vedic times, how many of you know that a woman is allowed to choose her husband according to her liking? You all know that, yeah? Generally, we may think it is only for the royal girls, Swayamvara. We say, no? Sita had Swayamvara, Draupadi had Swayamvara. But not only royal girls had that opportunity. Every girl was allowed to choose a boy, but she was not allowed to freely mix with the boy. That was not allowed. But she was allowed to choose a boy. After choosing whom will she tell, she will feel very shy to tell her father. She will tell her grandmother, father's mother. And the grandmother will say, okay, let me see. So she may see the horoscope match and everything. But why they would see horoscope match? If the girl is Devagan, boy also should be Devagan. If the boy is Asuragan, and the girl is Devagan, then the boy will exploit her. Therefore, they will see the match. Once that old lady, she's match is good, she will call her son and say, hey, my son, I have seen a good boy for your girl. And the son will not know what exactly happened. You know, and the son will think, oh, my mother has seen a boy. And then the marriage will happen. Only the granddaughter knows, grandmother knows. The marriage happens. In this way, choosing a boy was allowed. It is not that the girls are forced to marry somebody whom they did not like. Maybe some exploitative family might have done that. But I am telling you the general rule. And there are innumerable evidences for what I am saying. So, Chanakya says that one should treat every woman other than one's wife as a mother. That type of the respect was given in the Vedic times. Now, coming to whether one should be allowed to stay living together or live together or marry. First of all, I told you the difference between animals and humans. That is a very clear-cut difference. And the animals, in the beginning of my class, I told you also, in the beginning, some of you are present, that if you put some 2 dozen goats in a queue and slaughter one by one, but feed grass to all of them, you all will be eating grass. I have seen with my own eyes in the shops. Goats stand and they are more focused on the green grass. They don't see that we are going to be cut. Because they are foolish, that's all. They are foolish creatures. Whereas if you put 2 dozen boys and give them all ice cream in the hand, cut one of their head, do you think others will remain? That's what makes a human different from an animal. Animal is an animal. But human is intelligent. So human beings are far more developed. In fact, human being can control all the animals, including lions and tigers, and including the elephant also. You can see in a circus, the elephant is sitting in a small stool with all the 4 legs. You've seen that? Huge elephant. Although the elephant can wander anywhere in the forest it wants. But man can bring the elephant to the circus and make it stand. Man is certainly powerful. So, now man is certainly mighty. Man is certainly powerful. I just told you many examples for the same. And man can be more exploitative than animals also, if he wants to. Therefore, if you see the Vedic system says that, although I appreciate Atman and others made very good points about how can you bring in a registered contract or legal contract between a boy and girl who simply purely love each other. This is too much of a contract. Somebody may say, don't you sign a contract with a college when you join, or a school when you join, or when you join a company. Many companies take bonds also. In the same manner, in the Vedic times, when a boy and girl came together, the contract of marriage was done. And I'll tell you why. why that type of contract was kept. We will talk about it. Some of them brought out that point about responsibility. You ask any woman person, I'm going to ask this question to throw it to all the girls here. You all can answer this. You see, how many of you would like a man who is gentle in speech, who brings money to home, and who is very protective in nature, who is cooperative, and who never gives you up, who will never look at another girl, who will be faithful to you throughout the life, because he has held your hand on the day of marriage and circumambulated the fire? It's called Pani Grahanam. Pani means hand, Grahanam means catch. Once he catches the hand and goes around the fire, for his entire life he will not give up the woman. And in ups and downs, in the times when there are fair weather and foul weather, he never gives you up at all times. Whether you look ugly or whether you look beautiful, whether you remain thin or you become fat, he never leaves you. He will always. How many women would like to have such a husband? You ask. It's a question for all the women. Is there any woman who would not like to want to have that? So, women are looking for a responsible husband. Hey, mic is working so well. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, yeah. So, women are looking for a responsible husband. So, the Vedas say the husband has 3 duties. Protector, provider and guide. And what protection a man has to give for a woman, there has to be a two-way protection. One protection a man has to give a woman is, see, I had three sisters, so I know what is protection. When my sisters came to teenage, so many boys were trying to, you know, chase after them. Of course, I guarded them until the age of marriage when they got settled properly. So I got all of them married and settled before I joined this order. I fulfilled all my duties. So when a girl comes to manageable age, many boys will hover around her. Although many boys hover around her, they are not coming around her to make a responsible relationship like whatever Atman said. I like Atman's point, and two more made the same point. That can't they have a pure love? Many boys feel romantic feelings towards the girls in teenage, but that is not to maintain the girl for the whole life. After some time, the romance withers off, and then you have to worry about the bills. You know? See, there are seven stages of life. When a child is born, you know, we say spills, because child spills stool and urine. Then as the child grows to the school, then he drills. 2, 1, 2, 2, 2, 4. Like that he goes for drills. And then when you come to teenage, you undergo thrills. You know, romantic thrills. There are so many playboys who a girl comes across. I used to tell my sisters, never be, you know, fascinated by the playboys who look very handsome. They will come, they will enjoy, they will be gone. So you have to be very patient and not become loose in your dealing with anyone. And then she got properly, all of them got married and settled there. So many playboy-like boys come and hang around just for fun because they get thrills. But then once a person is married, you come to ground level, no more fantasies, then you get bills. Electric bills, this bill, that bill, so many bills, isn't it? And then as you keep on paying bills till the age of 45, 50, you get ills. Because you paid so many bills, you have to work hard, EMI and all that you have to pay. And when you get ills, then what do you eat? Pills. You keep consuming so many pills. Many people eat sleeping pills also, sleep at night. And then when you get very, very old, become 70, 80, you write wills. So these are called the seven stages of life. So, in this way you will see that like all the women raised a hand, because every woman is looking for a man who will responsibly offer her protection, is a protector, provider and guide. A man should actually do job and bring money home, and he should provide for all the grocery needs. He should provide a house, he should provide a car, he should provide nice dresses for the woman, nice food. And when woman is satisfied with all this, then he begets a child in the womb of the wife, and then he gives her children. Then the wife will be very happy with such a husband who is providing all these things. You ask any woman, any woman, Vedas say, if women have five things, they will be very satisfied. If you give them fine food, fine dress to wear, nice house to live, and a gentle husband who is loyal and you know, faithful, and children. If they have these five things, they will completely become peaceful and they will become submissive and cooperative to husband, and they will experience a sweet relation. So I told you husband does three things. Protector and two-way protection I told you. What is two-way protection? You should make sure no other man exploits this woman. See, one woman was exploited, which is Draupadi, and the whole Mahabharata war was fought. Another woman was exploited, Sita, taken by Ravana, and the whole Ramayana war was fought. So you can see that for the sake of protecting woman, how much, you know, people have taken that very seriously. You can see in the ancient times. They did not use the woman very loosely in the billboards. Now I go and buy an electric bulb in the market, I see a woman's photo there. I don't know what is the connection between the electric bulb and woman. Everywhere you find. And similarly, they want to launch some new model car. You find there are eight women sitting with, you know, a very stylish woman sitting, you find. So modern man uses women for such purposes. In the Vedic times they were protected and they were respected, greatly respected as a Mataji or mother. Other than one's own wife, everybody else has to be called as Mataji, as mother. So, I told you the duties of man, protector. So two-way protection is what? One-way protection is, no other man should exploit her. Another protection is, this woman should not become loose with any other man and spoil his character also. So, yeah, when a man and woman are connected in marriage, nowadays what happens when you go for live-in relationships, a boy and girl come together. A girl often is very possessive. Those women who are sitting here, please do not misunderstand me. It is not wrong for you to be possessive of the husband. It is very natural. Just as parents are possessive of the children, similarly wife has the right to be possessive of the husband. Therefore, wife is like a policeman for the husband. For example, the wife checked the mobile of the husband. Whom did you call? Whose phone number is this? What is this WhatsApp message? And that way the husband's character is protected. It's checked. I will tell you a story of an American girl. One American girl was suspicious about her husband. Of course, they were not married. They were living together only. She asked him, "Do you love anyone other than me?" He said, "Never, my darling. You are the only one. I don't think of anyone." She said, "Okay, if you promise me, I believe. I trust you." But then she got repeated suspicion due to many people complaining to her. So one day she herself went in a car behind his car and from a little distance. And she watched him at one place going and meeting with another girl and both of them going to a restaurant, putting hands on each other. This lady became so wild. She rode her car over him. It came 2-3 times she rode over him. She got so wild. So I was thinking, in America, the triangular love is increasing criminalism. Like if a triangular love means one girl is wanted by two boys. Like imagine, there is one beautiful girl who wants to marry a handsome boy. This happened in the cinema Actors and Actresses thing. Like one actress, she wanted to marry one actor. At that time, the actor said no. Then this actress got settled with another man, who was a good friend, who solaced her and calmed her and all. But while she was having friendship with him, that other fellow somehow had a change of mind. He said, "Now I am ready," either he said. And then when this fellow heard that fellow is ready, she said, "Oh, really? He is ready. Now I am going to leave you and go with him." When this actress said, this fellow thought, "Oh, you are attracted to him." He took a gun. He shot him. Now he told him, "Now that he is gone, you be with me only." She said, "Alas, are you not shameless? You are shooting such a person, such a famous person, such a popular person, whom I loved the most." She said, "Because you are a murderer, I don't want to live with you." She said, "You don't want to live with me?" She shot her also. And then he boarded a car and he was going, police chased after him. Then he took the gun, shot himself also. So, this triangular love is increasing criminalism in America. Do you know what is the population of America? It's 20 crores. What is the population of India? 120 crores. So, India's population is 6 times more than America. You know what are the number of jails in America? 1.5 lakh jails in America. For how many people? 20 crore people. Now, in India, how many jails according to American proportion you will need? In India, if America, 6 times 1.5 lakh. It comes to how much? 9 lakh. But in India, only 50,000 jails are there. You have the mic too. Yeah, I can ask. Yeah.
One regarding the kumkum you told that girls used to put. Why not?
Hello.
Why not guy used to indicate that they are married by wearing Mangal Sutra or any kind of hairstyle? They should bald their hair or something like that in rituals I'm talking about.
Yeah. First thing. What is indication for a man?
Yes, first thing. And second thing regarding the.
Actually, man used to get two sacred threads. Like, say brahmacharis were 3 threads and grihasthas were 6. Double. One for himself, one for his wife. Together 6 they were.
Yeah, but they used to be covered by the clothes nowadays, right? Yeah. Somebody is wearing them.
Okay.
So
it's not visible.
Not visible, yes.
Okay.
So first thing. And second thing regarding the jail you talked about right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might be because that the constitution is quite good and everybody is complaining regarding any atrocities that are going into the country.
Yeah,
right. Means if you see, Kerala is an educated,
most literate place. Yeah.
And most of the cases are happening in Kerala just because people used to go and report the things. You will not find much more cases in UP and Bihar. Why? And similarly, if you will see Saudi Arabia and other countries which have a dictatorship, you will not find much more of the cases. But you will find, yeah, but you will find cases in Canada, in US, because people are much more
liberal,
educated, know about their rights. So they used to go and complain.
One is the rights,
things.
And also liberal culture.
Yeah. Yeah, liberal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer. You want idea? Please loudly. Can you speak loudly?
Guruji, you see, you talked about Draupadi getting exploited. You talked about Sita getting exploited. But tell me one thing. What if Shurpanakha hadn't come and, you know, got arousal because she saw Rama? That wouldn't have, you know, created Ramayana. That's the story. It's not because of Sita. It's because Shurpanakha came. She got attracted to Rama, who was married to Sita at that point of time. Okay? And you're talking about one man being sincere to another man. Then, talking of gods in our Hindu religion, Ganesha, Lord Ganesha had two wives, right? Krishna loved Radha but married Rukmini. Even Lord Venkateshwara has two wives, if I'm not wrong. Padmavati and, so, what do you want to say about these things?
Yeah. Yeah, correct. Actually, when we talk of God, he has only one wife called Shakti, we call. And God is called Shaktiman. Like, for example, you have seen Ardhanarishwar, Shiva and Parvati. Half Shiva, half Parvati, you have seen. Similarly, Lakshmi Narayan. Similarly, we say Radha Krishna. Similarly, we say Sitaram. So, God is called Shaktiman. And his female counterpart is called Shakti. But that Shakti multiplies into many. Like for example, Radharani multiplies into Rukmini, Satyabhama, for the sake of Leela. Of course, that is another advanced subject we can talk about. But Shakti is only ultimately one, which multiplies into many. Say for example, you have this electrical energy now becoming kinetic energy. You know, here the fan is rotating, correct? No? One energy can take, energy can be transformed from one form to another without any loss again, we say. You know, so Shakti can actually manifest in various ways. But the ultimately Shakti is only one. Alright? Yeah. So, coming back to the point of this, systems in America are very perfect and rights, human rights are known. There are rights. Correct. Yeah, correct. Regarding the rights, yeah. So, people know the rights. But in America, people sue for no reason also, you know that. Correct, no? Just to make money, people sue also. Because, see, knowledge is certainly power, but the knowledge, just like a monkey, if you give the flower garland in the hand of a monkey, monkey is going to tear it. Similarly, if knowledge is given in an exploitative person's hands, it can be misused also. Correct? It's like a knife. Knife can be used by a surgeon, knife can be used by a thief. Correct, no? So, it's likely that the rights are not known to the people in India in some places, but most important fact is what? When people are civilized, criminalism is less. When people are civilized. Like for example, if you treat everybody, everyone, you teach a man to treat other woman as a mother. That respectful dealing is conducted all over the country. And then the result is that people become more responsible in behavior. Maybe one out of four men may try to do something wrong, but most of the people are cultured. We say cultured, no? So in a country like India, the culture is very high. The culture of dealing within family. Like another example I'll tell you. In India, mother, father, children, and grandmother, grandfather, they live as one unit. They take care of each other. Whereas in America, you will find that every individual American citizen has to be taken care of by the government. Because the families are all divided apart. There is no proper family. A girl or a boy at the age of 13 leaves home. Isn't it? They leave home. They live independent lives. Adi's of 16. And then therefore their problem becomes government's problem. It's not the family problem. Whereas in India it's not the case. In India, for example, there is one unit which is called family. And then there is another unit called village. Village is a community consisting of many families. And same thing happens in offices also. When you go to office, you know, one group of team of people become like a family. And the whole company remains like one family. You'll see that. That family type of attitude is there in India. Because of that Vedic culture, you can see that. And that is very protective. It keeps everybody safe and secure in the home. So, I told you about man's duty as protector, provider and guide. A man is supposed to be spiritually advanced. And he's supposed to guide the wife and children towards God. Through the guru. But nowadays man has become ignorant. And man has become exploitative. And therefore the women felt the need for, you know, standing on their own legs. Because, and also like Madam made a point towards the end, she was telling about how, you know, the marriage registration is helpful to claim legal rights of getting some compensation when divorce happens and things like that. A very unfortunate age we are living in, where at the time of marriage people think of divorce. Will I get enough compensation at the time of divorce? That's the situation. It's very bad. Therefore, the man and woman, what the Shastras say when they come together, in the marital relationship, one of them said that, she said that point about lust and love. The scriptures talk about lust and love. Lust is like iron, whereas love is like gold, it is said. In Hindi we call it as a bhogavritti and sevavritti, we call it. So you see, Hanuman is looking at Sita, Ravan is looking at Sita. Hanuman has sevavritti and Ravan has bhogavritti, exploiting mentality. So either husband or wife has an exploitative mentality, that family will not be peaceful. So both require service mentality. And therefore, what is marriage? At the time of marriage, you will find, you know, the parents, the grandparents, and the entire community people, everybody comes together. And the Brahmanas are chanting Vedic mantras and evoking the presence of God and God's blessings upon the couple, isn't it? So the couple knows that we are actually getting married in the sacred vow, in the presence of so many elders and respectable people. So after the marriage is over, I'll tell you a true story, a couple of true stories, you will immediately understand this point. You know, my spiritual master was telling, when he was a small boy, his name was Richie. He was in Chicago. So his mother, one day called the boy and then told, my dear child, see, your father is good, I am good, and everybody says your father is so kind and everything, and everybody loves your mother. But we can't get along with one another. We have problems, so I'm thinking of divorce, she said. And the small boy cried like anything. Seeing him crying so badly, you know, her heart melted actually. That night when the man came back from the office, so they both were sitting in the room and the door was slightly open. So she was telling her husband, today I just told the son that I'm thinking of a divorce, and he cried so badly. And she said, for the sake of the child, I think I will not go for a divorce. Let us be patient with each other. Let us cooperate with each other. I am ready to bend myself a little bit. And subsequently, in the next 3 years, the relationship became very sweet. Eventually. Now my guru was telling how, you know, within family life, there are qualities like sacrifice, bending, giving up your ego, cooperation, you know, tolerating the difficulties. You know, wife is sick, husband takes her to the hospital, and husband is sick and wife tends to his needs. This type of bending ourselves helps us to soften the heart, become better personalities. First of all of you ask this question, why are you here in this world? Why this world is created? You all are from India, you know, subject matter of Atma and body. Atma is the driver of this body. Why is Atma going from one body to another? Like you go from Luna to a Maruti, Maruti to a Benz, Benz to aeroplane. The driver is leaving one vehicle and going to another. But why are we going? A very simple answer is given in Vedas. To polish your personality. Like in one body, for example, say I am very arrogant and harsh. I need some polishing. Because the soul originally is very pure. But right now the soul is covered by some mind which has certain impurities. You can see people who are arrogant, who are harsh, who have a tendency to steal or cheat or misbehave. So these tendencies are there in the mind. But how will we get purified? But when you come in married relationship, husband, wife come together as a family and they beget children, and when they rise, there will be many situations where they may want to break, but they will not break either for the sake of the son or for the sake of the elders who will feel sad if they break. And if the marriage, like he was telling about the stigma, one of our friends he was telling, isn't it about the stigma we feel when we have to separate? That stigma is good in one sense, as long as both are improving. In this way, the marriage, like my mother and father, my father became 84, my mother became 80. They just passed away last year. And I have seen them with my own eyes, till their last breath, how happy they were. How they had a very thick relationship even in old age. Because our bodily beauty will wither away after we cross 30, 40. But the relationship between the hearts, two hearts will continue to remain. Even after one becomes 60, 70, 80. because they both were adjustable, flexible, cooperative, godly, and the home was like a very happy place. Sometimes people put a board, home sweet home. Putting board is not enough. You have to live up to that, isn't it? So, even though there may be, you know, Gandhi, you all know very well. Gandhi once told Kasturiba Mata, Kasturiba is Gandhi's wife. He told her that you should always use khadi only. You should never use milk cloth. One day the wife asked him, why do you say always khadi? Khadi is very heavy. Can't I use a milk cloth while cooking in the kitchen? Gandhi said, okay, you can cook in the kitchen, no problem. I'll finish in 5 minutes, Prabhu. 5 minutes, I'm finishing. You can cook with milk cloth in the kitchen, but the food you will cook, I will not eat, Gandhi said. That you only eat, because you are wearing milk cloth, I will not take. So Gandhi and she sometimes used to have a tussle like that. One day it so happened, something happened between them. Gandhi became very angry. So he told her, get out, he told her. So she got out of the house. Never come back, go away, like the Gandhi said. And after an hour, Gandhi went to the door and he opened the door and saw she was just sitting there. And he asked her, what is this you're sitting here? I told you to go away. She said, if I go to my parents, they will be very unhappy. They will say, you have left your husband and come back like this. So I was wondering where to go. Therefore I am sitting here, she said. Gandhi said, all right, come in, he said. Immediately called her in. And that was the end of the quarrel. So Chanakya says, Ajayudde Munishade Prabhate Megadambake. He says husband and wife can quarrel sometimes. And it's not that they can quarrel. Quarrel will come. Whether you are living together or whether you are married, you know, we are definitely, how many of you agree, we will quarrel with people. We do quarrel. Correct? No? You can't deny that. But what he says, Ajayudde means when two goats fight. Any of you have seen goat fight? In city it is rare to see a goat. In towns and villages you see goats. You know how they fight? With two legs down and two legs like this, they fight like this, with keeping two hands like this. But if somebody passing by says, hut, you say, immediately they'll give up the fight. And they'll walk together, they'll forget the quarrel. And they'll be walking and talking to each other and going. So this is the way husband and wife should fight, it is said. In case your parents or grandparents say, hut, stop this, don't quarrel anymore. Itna bada mat karo, chota chota chisam ko. Then immediately they'll give up the quarrel and they will go on. Another example he says, in the early morning, the clouds rumble in the sky, but they don't rain. Similarly, when husband and wife quarrel, they can shout if they want, but tears should not come. If tears come, that means it has gone to the ego unnecessarily. So in this way, the Shastras give many examples to illustrate this point, that within family life, there will be some misunderstandings, quarrels will come, but there are other times which are very pleasurable times. Like I saw my mother, father, and we were actually four children. We have seen it was such a happy family, very deep relationships. Actually, when you get such a deep love from mother and father, then you can express such a love for God and love for all the other living beings also. On the other hand, if a boy and girl come together just like that, I had gone to Infosys Hyderabad to give a seminar. So there, they had one building they told, in this building only boys live. Another building they showed, here only girls live. There is a third building, they said, here boys and girls live. Together they said. But in that building, there had been many suicides committed. Suicides because of broken love. Either because of broken love or because of some other quarrels, misunderstandings or whatever. So, when boys and girls come and live together, even after marriage, if people are considering divorce, naturally, you know, when they live together, you know, the quarrel will come, fight will come. You always think, I want a partner who understands me. So there was a photo, funny photo I saw. One girl says, at last I have someone who understands me. I thought, I wanted to know, who is that? It was a dog. She was embracing a dog. At last I have somebody who understands me. So in this world, nobody will understand you. You can ask a question. In this way, you hop and jump from one to another. Who will understand you? Will you understand me? Will you understand me? Will you understand me? Nobody understands you. The dog understands you because it cannot talk back. You see? Yeah, please.
You talked about a woman that was not going anywhere and was sitting over there because it was no place to go. So that also defined the woman's helplessness.
No, that was not the law, norm. The norm was what? Any man, woman have a fight, for example. If the man has exploited the woman by beating her, for example. Vedic law says that she should go to her parents' home and be with parents. 3 months she'll be there. Then the husband will start cooking himself. Then he realizes, my Lord, without my wife, life is so difficult. So he will send letters to her parents' home and say, please send her back. But they won't send. So when he goes to call her back, then her parents will chastise the man.
Yeah. And second thing.
Is this the way you treat our daughter? You assure us that you will take care of her well, we will give her back.
Then it's right.
Yeah.
And Vedic laws talk about divorce. Because I'm talking about two things. First, if you are doing a marriage in a cultural aspect, then in India you have to register that marriage. I'm against that registered marriage. Okay, that's
right,
fine.
Yeah, correct.
So Vedic laws talk
actually,
about...
Actually, Vedic law doesn't talk about divorce. There is no word divorce in the Sanskrit language. Talaki is a Urdu word and Ghataspot is a Hindi word. Then what would happen in case the... I will tell you how the marriage was done. In the Vedic time, say, when a girl is 9 or 10 years old, for example, they find a boy who is 13 or 14 years old. They find a boy. Then both the families know each other. Culturally, financially, in all respects, they are able to match well. They'll bring them together and marriage will be conducted. But they will not be allowed to stay together. After the marriage, the girl lives with parents and the boy lives with his parents. But the beauty is what? The girl knows that I have got a Mangalsutra, I have got a boy. I have got a husband in my life. So she will never ever think of any other man. And yearly, once or twice, the husband will be brought and she will cook for him in order to keep her connection with him. When the girl attains puberty and the boy by that time has got a job, he is making money well, and he also becomes responsible. He thinks that now that I am married, now I have to make money, I have to maintain my wife and children, everything. Say the boy becomes 18 or 20 and the girl becomes 14, 15, 16, you know, then they are allowed to stay together. Within 2-3 years they beget 2-3 children. Therefore you will find in Vedic time when a girl is 40 or 45, she has a grown up son. You will find that. And in this way, once the girl and boy beget children by the age of 20, 21, you know, the hormones which secrete in teenage, which agitate, they all are pacified. Because they are properly married, they have children, everything. But now what happens, boys and girls don't marry till 28, 30 sometimes. So before marriage, everything happens. And because of that, the result of that is what? Like one girl is living with another boy, then they quarrel. Then she marries another man and he marries another lady. Then they both phone each other. Tumhara parivar kaisa hai? She says, I'm not happy in my family life. Husband is very exploitative. And she's asking, how are you doing? He says, my wife also, my parents arranged for me. I am not happy. Then these two people try to meet again. Illicit connection. And when the spouses come to know, then they have a big quarrel. All this is happening nowadays. Huh? Because things are not happening properly.
Do you support registered marriage or
Yeah. Now, I'll tell that in the conclusion in just a few minutes. I'm going to conclude. I told you about the duty of man is protector, provider and guide. 3 things. He has to guide her in all aspects of life. Actually, woman, according to Veda, should be protected at all times. When they are small girls, the fathers will protect them. When they are married, the husband should protect them. And when they are old, the sons would protect them. They were always taken care of. Protection is not exploitation. Protection is actually service. Similarly, the girls also had duty. You know what was the first duty of a girl? The first duty of the girl is to be chaste to one man. And not just... Now you may ask, if a girl has to be chaste to one man, how can man marry many women? We may have a question. In Vedic times, Dasharatha Maharaj has married 3 wives, 4 wives. And many other wives also he had, but 3 were prominent. So, we may have such a question, isn't it? So the Vedas say that in the Vedic times, we had our special friend, what is his name? Like our Ajay. Like Ajay, many men did not want to marry. Many men in the Vedic times, they thought they were against marriage. So many men actually went to forest and they became renunciates and everything. So the number of men were less, women were more. And women require shelter. As I told you, a man who is very stable, spiritually stable, surrender to your guru, surrender to God, living a pure life. He can give shelter to a woman and keep her happy. If one man can give shelter to a dozen women, in the Vedic times it was allowed, provided he has the capacity. Not only money. Money is not the only thing. He should be able to equally treat all of them. Like Vasudev, for example, he was giving his sisters very costly saris and very costly jewelry. And his wives were all standing by his side and they were smiling. Can you imagine? We can ask this question to our girls. We can ask. Imagine when you marry, your husband is giving costly sarees and costly jewelry to his sisters in front of you. And will you smile or will you have any problem? Do you know why they were smiling? Anybody knows? How they were satisfied? No, actually he is giving his sisters those things, and more costlier than that he had given his wives already. He had already given his wives more costly sarees and ornaments and everything. After satisfying them, then he gave to sisters. They said, no problem, now you give now. You already given. So he was a very intelligent husband. So if a husband has more than one wife, you should be able to treat all of them equally. Nowadays, can anybody do that? No. It's very difficult. If one woman is more beautiful, you will become attracted to that wife. That is just as Suruchi Suniti, you heard. One king, Uttanapad, he was attracted to Suruchi and not attracted to Suniti. Therefore, Dhruva went to forest. You will hear that. It's very difficult for one man to treat two women equally well. Therefore, this age is called Kali Yuga, where one is not allowed to marry more than one in this age. Man is not able to marry, not allowed to marry more than one. Now, coming to the woman's duties, the first one is woman should be chaste to one husband. And that keeps the husband's mind very peaceful. Let us ask the men now. How many of you would like to have a wife who is chaste towards you? No matter whatever be your handsomeness, you may be handsome or you may not be handsome. You may be bringing you may have 15 lakh per annum or you may have 5 lakh per annum, whatever you get. But once she is married to you, she will be chaste to you throughout the life. She will not look at another man to run away with another man. Who would like to have such a chaste wife? Who would like to have a wife who serves you faithfully, who is very submissive to you and cooperative with you, who always is by your side and who emotionally supports you? How many of you men you think such a wife would be very valuable to have? Correct, no? Yeah. Not submissive. Now I will tell that. Now I will come to that point. Wife has four duties. First duty is she should be chaste, I told you. Second duty is she should serve the husband. For example, a man and woman, there are two people in a home. Say they have four children. In every team, there has to be one leader and one assistant. For example, one manager and one secretary, for example. So if one of them, you have one company manager, he has a secretary. Secretary has certain things to do, which are very important. And manager also has certain other things to do, which are also important. Now if secretary says, I will be manager because you are manager, let us both be managers, they will create a mess. You agree, no? Yeah. Similarly, what the Vedas say, woman is physically weak. That point you also made there, physically weaker. So, a 16-year-old boy can travel all over the world freely without fear. But a 16-year-old girl, if she travels alone, she can be exploited, even today. Although the equality is there. Equality is there in what? The Atma is equal in both the bodies. The driver of both the bodies is spirit soul who is equal. There is no difference. But there is a bodily difference. For example, when a man impregnates a woman, the woman has to carry the baby and then deliver the baby in 9 months. Is it not true? In case the man impregnates her and runs away, the burden comes on the woman. Is it not true? So physiologically they are different. Do you agree? Physiologically. They are emotionally intelligent. See, men are rationally intelligent, women are emotionally intelligent. Correct. Is half equal. Now I'll tell you about why the submissiveness is kept. I'll tell you. Actually, like if you see Lakshmi Narayan, for example, Lakshmi is serving the feet of Narayana, and Narayana is Lakshmi's master who keeps her on his chest. In the Srivatsa Chinha, you will see that Narayana keeps. In fact, Lord Narayana says that Lakshmi has conquered me by her affection. So, woman can conquer the husband by her affectionate service. And man can conquer woman by offering her protection. Actually, in this way, they both are boss in two different areas. Like for example, if a woman, say I am not against woman going to job, don't get me wrong, woman can go for job. But if a woman gets one or two children, for example, one of them made the point about how the child requires mother's affection. Like my mother was at home when I was studying in my school. So when I come back from the school, I will look for my mother, naturally, to come and pick me up and take me home, bathe me, dress me, feed me tiffin and everything. So women are called homemakers because they can do something which man cannot do. For example, woman can cook well. There is a saying in English, the hand that moves the cradle can make or break the world, it is said. Like you see Shivaji Maharaj, for example. See, the glory of Shivaji Maharaj should be attributed to Jijabai, who is Shivaji's mother. And you will always find, behind any successful man, there will always be a woman, it is said. That is a very famous saying also. So many great mothers have begotten great children also, isn't it? So if a woman is a homemaker, she not only cooks well, one woman can make all the members of the family happy. But if she goes for the job, husband goes for the job, both are making money. Like in Infosys, I saw in one building they were telling this is a family building, families are living. But amazingly in that building they said no family has kitchen, they said. They all come down to eat in the mess. The wife comes down and she eats in the mess and goes, husband comes down another time, eats and goes. So the wife doesn't cook anything at home. They both eat at different times and go. And she takes care of her life, he takes care of her life. There is no sambandha between the two. But Shastra say, if a woman cooks at home, feeds the husband, feeds the children, a sambandha will be established. And if a woman is physically weak, she accepts the protection of the husband. By that acceptance and accept, see, she gives him the post of a master. But in another way, if you see, by her submissiveness, she conquers him because he gives the entire salary back to her. She is a finance minister. She controls it actually. So in this way, Shastras have given due respect for women. Like my mother was an illiterate, but my father has a dozen degrees. Yeah. But I saw my father will never do anything without asking my mother. One day when I went to my home, I want to conclude, I don't want to delay, I want to announce the prices. With one last example, I'll conclude. See, I went home to my native place. My father was catching the corporation water in buckets, you know, drinking water and keeping six, eight buckets he was keeping. I laughed at him and said, Papa, you are a millionaire. Why are you catching water and keeping in buckets like this? You can appoint some servant to do it. He said, no, I only have to do it. He said, I asked why. Then he looked to his wife and said, otherwise how can I earn her sympathy? Either he said, you know. So, see, he is 88. At that time he was 82 years old. Still they have such humor. You can see that. Yeah. And my mother actually barely knows to put signature. She barely knows to, her name was Maragatham. With trembling hand, she knows to put English signature Maragatham. So sometimes when my father will be praising my mother will turn to him and say, I think you want some signature from me? So, I saw that these people, their affection is not ordinary. Actually, in living relationships, how long the relationship will last is a question mark. Because they have no binding. Leave alone the registration, legal binding and other things. They have not come together with the permission and blessings of the parents. Nobody else is involved in society. Animals, like animals come together today. Tomorrow they may leave one partner and go to another partner. In America, one American actress, she married 27 times, you know that? Out of the 27 times, 4 times she married the same man and divorced also. So this is what happens. You have dozens of partners. And one point which you have not touched today is emotional satisfaction. We all are looking for, in America it is said, in the morning when you go to company, you don't know whether the job will be there. When you return in the evening home, you don't know whether wife will be there. It is said. That's the situation. So, but if you want a very secure relationship, you want to live with one wife and children, so whole life you can be happy. So the Vedas say that, I do agree with all of you on how man should not exploit. For man not to exploit, man should be wise, spiritually wise. Therefore it is said, your first God is mother for you. Your second God is father. And third God is guru. And guru shows hand to God. Mata, pita, guru and dev. Unfortunately what has happened now? What to speak of God and guru? People have even ditched their parents also nowadays. Many people don't care for the parents. They act whimsically, do what they want. So therefore, the whole society has become broken down now. So we in Leader's Voice, one of our goals is this, that we want to restructure the society with proper families, like Sharanya Radha Mataji, Satya Gopal Prabhu. They are highly educated people, working people, but they are a very ideal husband-wife example. How they conduct their family, you can ask them how they are running from, just like I told about my mother and father. So they are a very happy family. And I can very confidently say they'll be happy beyond 80 also. Because the way they live their lives in a principled way. So we produce principle-centered leaders. That's the goal of a leader's voice. So many things could be said. But briefly put, today I told you the difference between animals and humans. Humans are far above animals. That was one thing I told you. Then I told you, and a human, because he has the might, he has the power, he can be equally exploitative. There is an animal within us, an angel within us, isn't it? So, what you bring out will depend on your association that you keep. I can assure you, if you come in a good company of people like this, you can bring the angel from within you. Because if you feed the angel will come out. If you feed the animal will come out. We all know the dangerous bad qualities in us like anger, greed, pride, arrogance and all that. We also know we have sublime good qualities also like helpfulness, kindness, tolerance and everything. So, the Vedic life nourishes the angel in us and it brings out the angel in us. So, I was speaking about how human being can actually bring out the angel in him by aligning with the Vedic literature. It's not that you can live together or you can marry. It is not your wish or my wish. We have to align with the universal law. In fact, the universal law shows even Shiva has Parvati, even Ram has Sita. You see like that, you know, they are wedded as a couple and they are eternally together. They are inseparable. Similarly, husband and wife are one unit when they marry and they should be one in their alignment also, which you will understand more and more as we come for the classes. So I spoke about the duties of a man and I couldn't complete the duties of a woman. One I told you was she should be chaste. Second thing is she serves the husband submissively and conquers the husband. Second thing I told you. Third thing is, she should marry with the ego of the husband. What is the meaning of that? If the husband comes home angrily, she doesn't become angry. She is submissive, so next day morning the husband feels guilty. He tells his wife, you know, my boss shouted at me in the company and I downloaded the anger on you yesterday evening. I don't know how you are so submissive, my dear wife. You know, thank you. Please forgive me for my misbehavior. Like that he says. And the wife just smiles. That's all. In this way, the wife is a shock absorber for the husband. So she should marry with the ego of the husband. And fourth thing is, she should have a thick relation with her mother-in-law and father-in-law. Mother-in-law should not remain mother-in-law. She should become mother-in-law. You know? So when she makes mother-in-law, mother-in-law, then husband's head is peaceful. Otherwise, if husband sees that one side wife is pulling, other side husband is pulling, he'll take mridangam, tomato, both sides. He will be troubled between the two. So these things can be elaborated on another occasion. I will do that when I meet all of you. But in this way, the Vedic law is universal law. If you follow the universal law, we can be happy. And I told about my parents and I have seen many other families like that. She was telling about her family also. So when you are born in a family where parents don't divorce, they stay together, don't you really enjoy their company? Because your love is divided between mother and father. If mother and father separate, your heart is broken, you see. Therefore, living together, it is very difficult without any commitment. Therefore, the commitment is done in front of God and parents and elders and all members of the society. And then they feel a little fear, stigma, which he said about stigma, which is also necessary to some degree. But at the same time, man should not be exploitative. That point should be again underlined. Man should be spiritually advanced and he should be protector, provider and guide. Then the family will be a happy family and the wife also follows her duties very well. Then it will be a happy family. I thank every one of you for participating in this and also the present speakers, they were so confident, so bold and so well thought in their presentation and every one of them was in their full form, I can say. And it appeared like one family sitting together and having discussion. The whole class became very lively and vibrant. And I thank all of you. Now I am going to announce and give you the prizes. But one important thing I would like to say while giving the prizes, it's not that somebody got a prize, somebody didn't get a prize. It's anything inferior. In fact, I had a very tough time whom to give prizes. I would like to give up to all the five on either side. Because all of them actually were doing and outdoing one another. It was very difficult for me to finalize. But I am giving two on each side. Two people on each side I am giving. Who performed extraordinarily well in their presentation. They were very meaningful in their presentation and thoughtful. And because we have CPU, content, presentation style and understanding. So taking into account all the three, we are giving two prizes to each. So on the side of living together, the second prize goes to Shubham Deshmukh. Second prize. Second prize. Shivam Deshmukh. Well done, Shivam. In the Living Together side, the first prize goes to Ankit Goyal. First prize. He's not here.
I had to leave early.
Okay.
I gave him his
prize. Okay. And on the marriage side, those who said marriage is best, they said. The second prize goes to Rajashree. She's here?
She's also
here. She had to go? Okay. Give them. And the first prize goes to Janvi Kirat. Well done. So, also we have gifts for the other participants. Where is it? Yeah. Because they did so exceedingly well, I want to give. Yeah. This side also.